Is baptism a mere symbol of rebirth? Is it a prize for attaining a certain amount of faith? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May is Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. It's written by regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about one of those stories that often, it's easy to illustrate. And I think that's why it often makes it into the Sunday school curricula. I mean, what is more picturesque than a vast plain with a massive tower and city built upon it, and all the people of the earth are gathered in one place, and they all seem to be of one mind and of one intent, and most certainly one language. The famous Tower of Babel, I don't know if they ever even called the Tower of Babel, but the name sticks after God does what God seems to find necessary, as God's people are all united with one language and one purpose. I guess the real question is, does God confuse the language of these early settlers of the plain of Shinar, the descendants of Noah after the flood? Does he confuse their language because he feels threatened? Somehow mankind has gotten too big for his britches, and, well, doesn't even God say in the story, if they've begun to do this, nothing will be outside their capability. So does God feel threatened by all of this? Pastor Tom Baker will join us here in just a minute on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 28th. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 11, the first nine verses, the Tower of Babel. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at IssuesETC. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is called Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism, and it's written by a regular guest, Pastor Charles Lehman. These are a great series of books from Concordia Publishing House that simply go through the basic truths of the Christian faith. Now, it's sad to say that many Christians consider baptism to be kind of a side alley of biblical teaching. A subject that may be important to learn at some point, but it's not that important. That's not true. It's very central in the teaching of Holy Scripture. That's why Lutheranism 101 has included it as a major section. And our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Tom Baker is a regular guest. He's Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Tom, does God confuse the languages of these early people because he feels threatened by them?
It's interesting to note that he refers to these individuals as sons of Adam, in contrast to the people that he referred to at the flood before he destroyed them as flesh. So I would make the point that he's actually coming down to be merciful to these people, not to be judgmental. He is going to do something that parents often do with children. They're going to do something wrong, and you get them to go in a different direction than the wrong thing that they're attempting to do. That's a wise parent. And that's what God is doing here. Out of his great love and mercy for these people, he is not going to destroy them as he did the flesh at the time of the flood, because the people were so far gone. He is going to attempt to halt them in their iniquity so that he might be their savior.
What are they up to? What are they doing that catches God's, or apparently catches God's attention here?
Well, What they're doing is clearly what they say they're doing. In other words, they themselves say that they wanted to build a name for themselves. And that's really clear from the text. They wanted the top of their tower to reach to heaven. That's verse 4. And they wanted to make a name for themselves. And therefore, this is really a good insight into how materialism begins.
What do you mean by that?
The individual that we believe is the head, because he's mentioned as over this area, is Nimrod. And Nimrod is said to be one who actually wants to bring people down. That's what the name Nimrod means. He wants to take away their look towards God and look towards themselves. They want to be... he wants to be the mighty one on earth. And it's kind of interesting that verse 8 of chapter 10, Cush begot Nimrod, and the word is, he began to be a mighty one on the earth. Now, it's kind of interesting that the word began here in the Hebrew can also mean unholy. And so what he's going to do, he's going to profane the name of God, and he's going to make a name for himself. And he does that by getting the people to try and glorify themselves rather than God in building this city and tower.
So this they're not really thinking, this isn't like space exploration. They're not thinking we're going to get up to God. This is really a move away from God.
Yes, in fact, this is really something to look at. In Genesis 11, verse 2, it says, "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east." Now, what's interesting about that phrase, from the east, in Genesis 13, verse 11, Lot decides to leave Abraham, and it says he journeyed east. Almost all the translations have that. The trouble is there's a preposition there. It says he journeyed from the east. In other words, even though he was going southeast, if you take a look at a map, leaving Abraham, what does it mean he was journeying from the east? The east was understood as the place of antiquity. It is the place where one worships God. It's even found in Micah 5, verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are," and this next phrase is interesting, "from of old." That's the exact Hebrew that is also translated from the east. So these people were leaving where the sun rises. They wanted to have their own universe, so to speak. They were leaving the east, which really is a theological concept, not so much a geographical one, that they were now going to be of their own and make a name for themselves. So already in the first verses of Genesis 11, we already see their plan.
It says the whole earth had one language and the same words. That'll come into play later in the story, but what are your thoughts there, Tom?
Yes, most scholars would say that chapter 10 really is in reverse chronological order, that it should follow chapter 11, but I don't agree with that, because in chapter 10, there are three occasions when the three sons of Noah are said to be everyone according to his language. Genesis 10:5, Genesis 10:20, and Genesis 10:31. The problem is that the Hebrew word there is lashon. But in the verse you just read, which begins with chapter 11 and says everyone was of one language, it's a different word. It's the word saphath, which really means of the same lip. And so I am convinced, as some have suggested, that in chapter 10, they all still spoke Hebrew, but the word used for different languages refers to dialects, such as If you're here in St. Louis and somebody comes from England, you can tell right away they're from England by how their dialect is, or from the South, or from Canada, even though English is all the same language. So that's kind of a difference among scholars. But in light of the fact that the Hebrew word for language in chapter 10 is different than the Hebrew word used in chapter 11, I think it makes sense that they were all of the same language, speaking different dialects. And what God did then with the Tower of Babel, he actually created new languages beyond just different dialects.
It says there, and we've got about a minute before we take a break, it says that they migrated from the east. You talked about it a moment. They found the plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Just as kind of a note for those interested in the geography here, do we have any idea where this actually is, Shinar?
Yes, it's near Babylon. And so there are other towns mentioned there, and we've got a pretty good idea where it was, and that's about all I can say on that one.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're walking through the story of the Tower of Babel on this Tuesday, May the 28th. You can join us with questions or comments, teaching a Sunday school lesson, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio on the subject of the Tower of Babel for Pastor Tom Baker. talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Pastor Tom Baker is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, they say to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they add brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens." You can tell why this is included in a lot of Sunday school curricula. It's a picture being painted of man's enterprise. Very early enterprise, and then God takes notice, and he comes down to see what they're doing. We'll pick up the story right there after this.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. And Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The slippery slope of nationalized health care.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Death List. No, it's not the name of a new blockbuster movie. It is what British doctors were told to make. They were instructed by the government to make a list of their patients who are likely to die soon. According to the Daily Mail, a British newspaper which reported the story, doctors were told that the patients they identified would, quote, be less likely to be subject to treatments. The doctors were told that by denying some services to the patients on this death list, the National Health Service would save more than £1 billion a year.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, May the 28th. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, is there any significance, because there's a lot of detail here that you don't usually get in these very, very ancient accounts. Usually it's pretty broad brush stuff early in the book of Genesis, but here we are. We even know what they're building with. They're building with some sort of burned bricks and bitumen for mortar. Is that just a kind of inconsequential detail?
No, I do not believe it is. Verse 3 is very interesting. They had brick for stone. Now, why would Moses write that? I mean, who cares what they were building with? Well, it just so happens that God wanted his, particularly altars and everything that was related to God, to be made out of stone. Why would he use stone? Because stone was God's creation. And in fact, it's very interesting when you find stone in the ground and you make a wall, the law isn't at all the same all the way along. It's all different. And that shows the difference even in believers in Jesus Christ, the various tasks that we have and the gifts that we have. In fact, God is so angry with the people later on that they use bricks. Listen to Isaiah 65:3. This is because of the Babylonian captivity. This is a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens rather than where God prescribed, who burn incense on altars of brick when God commands them to be made of altars of stone. So once more we see Nimrod's influence here, that we're not only going to build something that from our point of view is like God, we're going to be able to stretch into the heavens, but we refuse to do it with what he says should be done. We're going to make them ourselves. And it's really interesting that there is actually a European Economic Community Parliament building that was built not long ago, and it was built just like the artist rendered the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, there's a really well-known picture of it, artistic rendering of it, and of course it's not finished. And sure enough, the European Economic Community built it that way. Now, why do they do that? Because their stanza is Europe, many tongues, one voice. But it's very interesting that the people in the artistic rendering of the Tower of Babel, they all look like bricks. And this reminds us then finally of Exodus 1:14. Where Pharaoh made the lives of the Israelites bitter with hard work and the building and making of bricks. And so this brick language, you can follow throughout the Old Testament, and it is contrary to the way that God wanted his altars and edifices honoring him to be built out of.
So it's not that making bricks is in and of itself wrong. It's
no.
The reason man makes brick is to kind of say, I can do this myself. This is something I have created rather than something God created.
Yes, like Nimrod's name, you don't have to look up to God to get advice. You can look down to man, and man will be the ones who will design the world the way it should be designed rather than God's design.
They don't just say, come, let us build a city. They say, come, let us build ourselves a city. It's emphatic there that they are going to be the architects and the builders of whatever the end result is.
Yeah, that's a good point. I had missed that, that they are referring, you know, we're going right back to the Heidelberg Disputation and Luther's distinction between the theologian of self-glory, building things for himself, in contrast to the theologian of the cross, who looks to the cross not only for our help, but also to give glory to God, not to ourselves. That's a good point, Todd.
There's another connection here that I wonder what your thoughts might be. There's a passage there, I think later in the book of Hebrews, if I'm not mistaken, talking about all these very ancient heroes of the faith. And I think it goes all the way back to, well, it goes back to Noah and maybe even before, even back to Cain and Abel. And then it says near the end of that chapter that these people were looking for a city whose architect and builder is God. Does that kind of echo what we're seeing here, that Abraham doesn't get a chance to build anything in the promised land? He dwells in tents. That God is saying something to these people about their place here on earth?
I think that's probably why the Concordia Publishing House Sunday School material has done a wonderful task here. They actually have another tower that they picture, but this tower, and they use the verse Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it, and it is safe. And on the tower are these words, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Redeemer, King of Glory, Jesus, Lord of Lords, Messiah, Savior, Emmanuel. That's the tower that we should be looking towards. And of course, for us, we find that particularly in a word and sacrament worship service each Sunday.
Now, their rationale is also clearly laid out. They say, come, let us make a city and a tower with its top for ourselves. And then up in the heavens, let us make a name. I mean, you don't build that out of bricks. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth. What are they afraid is going to happen?
They're afraid that they're, because of all the many people now with the different generations from Noah, that they're going to be separated and they're not going to be able to be in unity. And so they want a name for themselves to protect them from being exterminated or unable to defend themselves. And therefore, once more, we see that this is something that is totally self-interested. Interest-oriented rather than the interest of others, which the Tower of Strength of Proverbs 18:10 is really all about.
It's really hard to miss the fact that this chapter comes right before the 12th chapter, where God makes a promise to Abraham, or where
yes.
he calls Abraham, and then one of the promises he makes to Abraham is, I will make your name great. Does that go hand in hand with this people, his ancestors, who attempted to make their own name great?
Since God is the author of every book, and there are many writers, one of the techniques he uses is contrast. And so the contrast between, for example, Adam and Eve and Mary, the contrast between Moses and the people failing in the desert and Jesus not in the wilderness, the contrast is also here. When we take it upon ourselves to build without God's help, without looking to Him for the source of strength, then God shows a contrast, which He does with Abraham. Remember, all that Abraham did to become righteous was to trust what God was building. He believed Sarah would become pregnant. As Hebrews said, Even though she had a dead womb, he believed that God could bring forth a child. And that's part of the reason why he was willing to put Isaac to death, because he believed that God would bring him back from the dead. So the trust in God's word is in stark contrast to the trust in man's word that we find at the Tower of Babel.
In verse 5, we were talking about this little verse with another guest a couple weeks ago, and he said, don't ignore the fact that in verse 5 it says, the Lord came down to see the city which the children of man had built. I mean, they think they're going really high. They're up in the stratosphere.
Yeah.
And God has to basically descend just to see their tall tower.
Yeah, I believe that was Joel Heck, and he did a wonderful job there. That's right. You could have just said, or Moses could have just said, and the Lord looked at the city. But no, he had to come down. So here they're trying to build it into the sky and into the heavens, and God has to really come down. It's very ironic the way that the Lord puts this to show how infantile is this attempt on the part of man to reach the heavens and make a name for themselves.
The Lord says, behold, they are one people, they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose will now be impossible for them. What's he saying about mankind here?
He's saying that once they follow the devil, and let's just take maybe communism as an example. Our missionaries in Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan, where I'm somewhat involved with Concordia Mission Society, they'll tell you that under communist rule, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't even speak a word of Kazakh, let alone worship God as they wanted to. That what happens that this is really talking about a kind of a socialism where everybody is the same. It kind of reminds me of Winston Churchill. He says, the vice of capitalism is that there is an unequal share of the blessings. The virtue of socialism is that there is an equal share of the misery.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson talking about Genesis chapter 11, the first 9 verses, the Tower of Babel. Stay tuned.
Well, you know, you sometimes hear from people that the liturgy itself is a barrier to reaching out with the Word of God and the goodness of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's just a bunch of baloney.
Pastor Will Wheaton, on his presentation, Classical Christian Worship, at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, this summer in Collinsville, Illinois.
The liturgy itself is overwhelmingly the very Word of God by which the outreach takes place. And it is an incredibly crafted balance of stuff that stays the same and of stuff that changes. So it has stability and variety automatically built into it, and it frees up the pastor to work on proclaiming the mystery of Christ that particular liturgy is holding up for the people on that day. I think it's a great outreach tool rather than thinking of it as something that's a barrier.
Register for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois at issuesetc.org.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida. Silly with commercials, serious with God.
Howdy, folks. Old Gus here. When I'm not out fixing up something with Country Bob's or picking on my banjo with Matt, I saddle up and head on down the trail till I hit the white sandy beaches of Pensacola, Florida. And on Sunday, you can find me at Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church invites you to divine service every Sunday at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Bible classes for all ages at 9:15.
Stay Lutheran, my friends!
Is baptism a mere symbol of rebirth? Is it a prize for attaining a certain amount of faith? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May is Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. It's written by regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. You can browse Before You Buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101 Holy Baptism by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101 Holy Baptism. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Tuesday afternoon, May the 28th. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. Tom mentioned this before the break. The Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. It does have all these kind of insights built into it. It's one of those things that if you're teaching Sunday school, whatever age you're teaching, it is an excellent guide. I know what it's like. You sit down with the kids and you have a lot of challenges on a Sunday morning with the Sunday school class. You'd need, and a lot of distractions, you need to have it clearly in your mind. You can't wing these things. The kids are important as any Bible class being taught any place. The teaching the young people of the church is a highest priority. So you want to have clearly in mind what it is the text says, what you want to say in the course of teaching that Sunday school lesson, and that's where a curriculum like Growing in Christ comes in. It prepares you well to teach a Sunday school lesson. That's part of the reason why we use it as the basis for our conversations with Pastor Tom Baker every week. Find out more about Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. They'll send you free samples so you can peruse them on your own. Or just browse Before You Buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, we have these people gathered. They've built their city. God has come down. God says there's nothing that will be impossible for them. Whatever they propose to do, they will be able to do it. Verse 7, come, let us go down. It seems to parallel what the people have been saying. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. He could have just simply toppled the tower, destroyed the city, earthquake, whatever. There are lots of means at his disposal to stop them, but he takes this different approach. Why?
I don't believe that the Lord felt threatened or thought that the people would be able to compete with his rule, but he was understanding that if they were able to accomplish this, they might think of themselves so invincible and be confirmed in their sinful arrogance. So by confusing their speech, the Lord wasn't cursing them. He was actually reminding them of their limits. He was hindering their ability to build up themselves falsely and therefore to make an idol of themselves. So what God was really doing here, and that's the work of the law, is to bring us to see our limitations and call us to repentance. And of course, the biggest limitation we have is making a name for ourselves before Almighty God. And that's the main thing I'd want to get across to the Sunday school children. This is an event that took place in real history where people were attempting to make a name for themselves. And, of course, apart from God, they were defeated. So where do we get a name for ourselves so that we can be sure that God considers us as his children and loves us and will save us? And that's why we need to move to baptism, especially for the little children, because that's where God gives us his name, a name for ourselves that we're now Christian and we're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I believe that's one of the reasons that the liturgists put the Tower of Babel at the same time in the readings of Pentecost, because Pentecost is the reverse of the Tower of Babel, a reverse where we get a name from God through baptism and the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So this dispersal, and it's quite clear that it didn't say they were scattered or they all wandered off to their own projects. It says it twice that the Lord dispersed them. He is the one who is the subject of that verb. What does that tell us?
God is always the subject of salvation actions. We are always the subject of sinful actions. It's again a distinction between law and gospel. When you live under the law, you got a big head and you think you can accomplish, apart from God, things that you desire in your own self-interest. And by God taking those things away and limiting us, we then wake up to the fact that apart from God, we have no hope whatsoever. And so it's a very loving thing that God does. Just as a parent will take away, say, a sharp object from a child who thinks they can use scissors or a hammer or a screwdriver when they're real young in order that they not hurt themselves, and therefore they'll turn to the parents for maybe education and how to use it properly or an understanding of what it really is for.
Does God already have in mind what he's going to do in the next chapter in choosing just one man out of the entire population of the whole world, out of every nation that he has just created? He just created the nations, really, in the Tower of Babel. But then he's going to choose just one guy and make his own kind of nation that isn't a nation of language, but of, I guess, faith.
Well, Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, but also so did Adam and Eve. So I don't see Abraham as the beginning of the salvation project, but a continuation of it, because it first came in Genesis 3:15 to Adam and Eve that a Savior would be born, a promise to them from her seed, whom she thought took place in Genesis 4, verse 1, when Cain was born. And the original Hebrew says, I have gotten a man, the Lord. But God is long-suffering, as Abraham and Sarah found out, waiting 25 years for a baby, and he's long-suffering for us also. But he always keeps his promises. And therefore, Abraham now is a continuation to fulfill what had been promised to Adam and Eve.
So that helps also explain, doesn't it, why God seems to be so concerned about the names. Even with Abraham and Sarah, he changes theirs. He even instructs them as to in a kind of a backhanded way, as to the name of their child. Does that all lead us forward to that name of Jesus that God himself gives?
Isaiah 7:14 talks about already the virgin being conceived by the Holy Spirit, and the angel says to Mary that his name will be called Jesus. And Jesus, of course, means he saves us. And the name Emmanuel is also there, which the Sunday school lesson, by the way, has as a name on the Tower of Strength, the true tower that we should be clinging to. Emmanuel meaning God with us. It's three Hebrew words to refer to that. So if the children want God with them, they find him in the waters of baptism and throughout their life in the Holy Word and sacraments.
With only about 30 seconds, we often ask this question of these Old Testament. Where is Jesus in the Tower of Babel story? About 30 seconds here, Tom.
Jesus, I have no trouble seeing at all as the one who comes down. Remember, the word says, let us. And it's the same phraseology you found in Genesis. Let us make man in our image. And I have no problem, since all three persons are mentioned in the very first three verses of Genesis 1, that the Tower of Babel is all about the work of Jesus preparing now to go through Abraham, David, and Judah until Mary is told by the angel that the Savior is going to be born for the purpose of dying for our sins and rising for our justification.
Then finally, with the minute for the kids, you've already mentioned a remembrance of their baptism. What is the message that we need to get across to the kids this week?
is that it really doesn't matter who you are or how different you are, what language you speak. What Pentecost is all about and baptism is God unifying his people as part of the family. Adopting them into his holy family is the imagery that God loves to use in the New Testament. And therefore, it is all the work of God. Salvation is a free gift. And that's why on this day, when we're celebrating the Book of Concord, we remember we're saved by grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tom Baker is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, we'll talk with Tom about the birth of Moses. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Christianity and transgendered issues. Pastor Tom Eckstein will be our guest. Also tomorrow, we'll conclude our series on holy baptism with Pastor Charles Lehman, author of the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for May, Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. Thanks to Pastors Dennis and John Bestel and the Congregation of the Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Cupertino, California, for sponsoring the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the Issues Etc. 300. It's a group of congregations that support in their budget every year Issues Etc. $1,000 or more is put into the budget of these congregations, and that helps us plan our budget here, Issues Etc., a lot more easily. You can find out more about your congregation joining the Issues Etc. 300. Your congregation may well be planning for budget issues right now. That makes it a good time to ask your congregation if they would consider including Issues Etc. to $1,000 or more in their mission or advertising budget. Find a one-page flyer at our website, issuesetc.org. You can download it, print it off, and it will tell you and your congregation everything you need to know about the Issues Etc. 300. Issuesetc.org, click support. The one-page flyer is right there for you and your congregation. Ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. If they're already a member, ask them or remind them to renew their membership in the Issues Etc. 300. It's a new name. He doesn't want to leave these people without a name. They want to make the name for themselves. And God says, no, that's not how I work. I will make the name for you. In fact, I will give you the name. And the rest of Old Testament history, and it really, we're only into about the first chapter there with this story. The rest of Old Testament and New Testament history is God continuing to do what he promised to do there. To make a name for them, to give a name to them, and that is the name by which we are saved, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.